We are continuing our class on the chronology of the Bible. We are looking currently at the book of Judges, and that is a very interesting study. There's a lot to cover because it's 317 years as we've looked at, but there's over 400 years of time period mentioned. So we've got to be able to fit them all in there somehow. And so we have looked at different aspects. We looked at the first half last week of the period of the Judges. We looked at this period from the death of Joshua. So far we've gone up to Deborah, and we're about to talk about Hola and Jair. There are 12 judges that are talked about in the book of Judges. Othniel, Ehud, Shamgar, Deborah, Gideon, Tola, Jair, Jephthah, Ibzan, Elon, Abdon, and Samson. And so all these are, they all dealt with different areas of Israel, different portions, different time periods. And so we've looked at some of the language that's talked about in there to describe their periods of judgeship, so we could possibly find an area where we can move them around. Remember, we're not looking for the answer to the question of how there could be 317 years of the judges, but over 400 years that are mentioned. We're looking for an answer. And so we're trying to do that so we could possibly answer the skeptics and perhaps be solidified in our own mind and have that answer for us so that we can strengthen our faith. All right, so I've got 12 judges up here in this table on the board, and we've got this whole period right here is about 206 years. Actually, it is 206 years. So from the Mesopotamian oppression, talked about in Judges chapter 3, all the way to, in my timeline, I have the ending of the 40 years of peace, or rest that the land had with Deborah and Barak at the end of Judges chapter 5, as being 206 years, and the Midianite oppression and the Gideon's period of rest during that time is also included. So all of that would be 206 years. Next, we have Tola and Jair. Tola and Jair are minor prophets or minor judges. Not a whole lot is said about them, except for a few minor details and the period or the time in which the time that they judge. And for Tola, 25 years, or excuse me, 23 years, and for Jair, 22 years. They judged in different parts of Israel. Tola was a son of Issachar. He was from this area here, but he judged down here in Ephraim. And Jair was in Gilead, which is on this side of the Jordan. And so they could have judged at the same time, but at different areas that they were operating in. All right, now, one thing I want to point out, since I've added that to the board recently, is Eli. Who is Eli? Yes, he is the one who dealt with Hannah. We do not see him in the book of Judges, but we do see him in the book of 1 Samuel. And in the first four chapters, I think, of 1 Samuel, he is present, and he dies at some point. Four, five, or six, one of those chapters. I don't remember exactly right now. Actually, I probably have it on the board. Yes, in 1 Samuel chapter 4. Will someone turn to 1 Samuel chapter 4? What does that verse say?
Eli was 98 years old and his eyes were so dim that he could not see.
Alright, so Eli was 98 years old. Later we'll learn that this is the time he died. So he died when he was 98. He was a judge of Israel. But looking at the timeline that I have up here, his judgeship span or started in this period right here where Tola and Jair were judging. And so he was judging, he was in Ephraim as well, because that's where Shiloh was. And that's where the Ark of the Covenant was, and that's where the Tabernacle was. He was a high priest at the time as well. So he was judging in this area as well. His judgeship is different. His kind of judgeship is different than the judgeship of the other judges. The other judges were all men of war. Eli was not so much a man of war, at least not that we've seen in the book of 1 Samuel. One thing to note is that Tola, the reason why I have Tola so much after Abimelech in this thing here, because it says that after Abimelech, Tola rose up. And Tola rose up, and it says he saved Israel. He is not going to be able to save Israel if they're at a period of rest. Alright, so if he is in a period of rest, it's going to have to be, or if he's going to save Israel, he's going to have to be after a period of rest that we see here with a gap that we have between Deborah and the Ammonite and Philistine oppressions. So we place them in that gap. Now, the minimum amount of time that they could have judged is 23 years. I've upped it to about 25 because we have estimated about 10 years for the period of faithfulness that Joshua had, or that Israel had after Joshua. So, you know, there's a range here, and I'm kind of sticking it somewhere. And you got to stick it somewhere, and that's just how it is. So with Eli, he was 98 years old when he died. Now, I have him dying right around here, and I'll explain why in a minute. Let's also look at the next verse on here, verse 18. What does verse 18 say of 1 Samuel 4?
Then it happened when he made mention of the ark of God that Eli fell off the seat backward by the side of the gate, and his neck was broken and he died. So the man was old and heavy, and he had judged Israel 40 years.
All right, so how long had he judged Israel?
40 years.
40 years. So that's this period here where he judged Israel. Now, what does it mean when he heard what happened to the ark? Do you remember what happened to the ark of the covenant? His son, Eli's son, Hophni and Phinehas, terrible people. They were not very good at all. They were sleeping with the women who came up to the tabernacle. They were doing things that were against God in terms of the sacrifice. And the people hated them for it. The people hated them for that. And so they decided that they were going to take the Ark of the Covenant up to battle with the Philistines. And they said, well, here's what we're going to do. We are going to, if we have the Ark of the Covenant with us, that means God is with us. And so if that's the case, then we can't lose. Well, they lost. And the Ark of the Covenant had been taken. And this Ark was taken, and they placed it into the Philistines took it and placed it into the temple with Dagon, their god, their idol. And some interesting things happen. You know, at some point the next morning, the Dagon had fallen over, and then the next morning, Dagon had his idol was nothing but a torso. So God, the ark of God, could not be in the same room with this false idol. Otherwise, and it's an amazing read, so you should take the time to read that if you can. if it goes toward our area, then we know it's just a coincidence. So, guess where it went? It went toward Israel. And it landed in a place around here called Beth Shemesh. And the people there, that I believe was a town of the Levites, if I remember correctly. So they look, they open the ark and they peer inside and a whole bunch of them die. And they're like, oh no, we gotta do something about this. So they take the ark and eventually it was given to Kiryat Jira. And that place has also caused Baal Judah, which we'll come across in 2 Samuel, whenever David takes the ark from Baal Judah, Kiryat Jira, same place, and brings it back to, or brings it to Jerusalem that he had just conquered. So we'll see that later on. But for this moment, he is, the ark is in its spot, and Eli is upset, understandably so. Not only has the ark been taken, but his sons Hophni and Phinehas were killed in that battle. And so Eli is distraught, and he ends up dying. He ends up breaking his neck and dying. And so Eli that was the death of Eli. Alright, so why do I put him here at around the same time that Samson begins? Well, first off, before I get into that, if I'm right where Eli is, then that means Eli was born during the Canaanite oppression. And that would have been right around here. He was born during this time. Alright, so that's Eli. Now, the reason why I put him there coincides with Samson. So, we remember Samson. What was he famous for?
His strength.
His strength. He was super strong, right? He was a very strong man. What was the source of his strength? Or what was
his hair.
His hair. Ultimately, the source of his strength was God, of course, but his hair was tied to that, because that was his, he was a Nazarite from birth. And a Nazarite, what are some of the requirements of a Nazarite? You can see in number 6. They couldn't drink. They couldn't have anything from the grape. They couldn't have anything from the grape. They couldn't have grape juice. They couldn't have wine. They couldn't have even grapes themselves. They couldn't touch the dead. Yes, that's right. They would be considered unclean. And then they would have had to shave their heads and then let it grow back. Well, what about their hair? What about the hair of a Nazarite?
They couldn't cut it.
They couldn't cut it. So Samson had long hair all his life until, well, until, you know, when it could grow out. I don't know when that was. And he had it all his life until it was shaved off by Delilah and the Philistines. So Samson try to figure out when all this happened with Samson and Eli, and when Hannah received her vision. What happened with Hannah? Do you remember what happened with her? So that's the first couple chapters of 1 Samuel. Hannah was married to, I have him on the board, Elkanah. And was she able to have children?
She was barren.
She was barren, right? And she was praying for a son. Now, this is very similar to Jacob and Leah and Rachel. Leah was able to have children. Peninnah, the other wife that Elkanah had, was able to have children. And when, Rachel, of course, was not at first, and Hannah was not. So Hannah goes to God and prays at Shiloh for a son, for a child. And Eli thinks, what does Eli think?
Drunk.
She's drunk. She's drunk. And then she explains, no, I'm not drunk. This is in Judges 13. And it says at the beginning of Judges 13 that this is a the Philistine oppression had just begun, or had begun at least. And so, how long did the Philistines oppress Israel? You remember? I put it up on there. I can see it to the podium.
40 years.
40 years. So the Philistines oppressed Israel for 40 years. And do you remember how long Samson was judging? It's at the end of Judges 16. He judged for 20 years. Samson did. So Samson judged for 20 years, which means he died at some point during that time frame, right? What was the circumstances around Samson's death? Do you remember?
He committed suicide, really.
He committed suicide, that's right. But it was through a sacrifice. He sacrificed himself to kill a bunch of other Philistines. Delilah had his hair cut, and he lost his strength, so he was captured by the Philistines, put into prison, and at some point he was made to perform for them at the temple of Ashdod in Gaza, or a temple of Dagon at Gaza. And so he goes up to, he finds strength because his hair is starting to grow back, and he finds strength to destroy that temple. And the five lords of the Philistines were killed. The five lords of the Philistines are people who, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Gaza, and a few others that I can't remember right now. So those were the lords of the Philistines over the area. So all five were killed at this event. And what does it say about how many people Samson killed? It was more than he had killed in his whole life, in any one instance. So that was a severe blow to the Philistines. You would think if all of your lords, if all of your kings, if all of your rulers were killed, you would think that would be a severe thing. So I have Samson, since he judged Israel for 20 years, and the Philistine oppression 40 years, then I have him toward the latter half of that. And I have him not destroying the Philistines, but softening them up. Because later in 1 Samuel 7, we see that the Philistines have been subdued finally. And that's in Judges 13 takes place at the same time as 1 Samuel 1 and 2, or at least 1 Samuel 1. So Manoah's wife is promised a son at the same time that Hannah is promised a son. And so Samuel and Samson then are contemporaries. Samuel and Samson are working at the same time. Okay. This goes back to Ibsen, Elon, and Abbott, which I've kind of overlooked so far. So again, those are three minor judges. They're not talked about a lot. They have very short periods of judgeship. And I have them at a minimum, I have on here about 17 years. It's a minimum of about 15, I think, that they were operating. It could have stretched out. I believe it could have stretched out until at least for the 20 years we include Jephthah. But I have on here 17 years for Jephthah, Ibsen, Elon, and Abbott. About 17 years. I think it was a minimum 15. And that's because of the conflict that would have existed. Remember last week we talked about the conflict with the Ephraimites that Jephthah had in Judges chapter 12. And Abdon was an Ephraimite judge. And so I don't believe God would have allowed two judges to fight against each other. I don't think that would have been the case. And so Abdon is judging after Jephthah's gone. And I believe that Ibsen and Abdon were not contemporaries either. Because Ibsen is in Bethlehem, and Abdon and Ephraim are both in the same general area. Elon is in Zebulun, which is in the north. And so he could have been fighting against the Philistines too, if the Philistines were that bold, but he might not have. So we have him at a different, at around the same time for that. So what this means is that all of these judges, these four judges, if we don't include Elon because he's in the north, then that's three judges. All these judges were summoning up the Philistines for Samuel to have them taken down in 1 Samuel 7. One more thing I need to justify before we move on is I have up there the Ammonite and the Philistine oppression happening at the same time. Let's take a look at Judges chapter 10. Judges chapter 10 and verse 7.
Against Israel, and he sold them into the hands of the Philistines and into the hands of the people of Ammon.
All right, so this particular oppression is then the people of the hands of Ammon and the Philistines. So I have them as two separate things because we don't hear about the Philistines for another couple of chapters. We don't hear about them again until the beginning of chapter 13. And so these were likely contemporary contemporary oppression, and so they were happening at the same time. And so that
and rescued the surrounding territories from the Philistine control. There was also peace between Israel and the Hamites. Samuel judged Israel throughout his life. Every year he would go on a circuit to Bethel.
Gilgal.
Miss, why do I always choose these verses that we It was just Israel at all of these locations. Then he would return to Ramah because his home was there. He judged Israel there and he built an altar to the Lord there.
Alright, so Samuel, he judged Israel all the days of his life. Now he died in 1 Samuel 25. That is well into Saul's reign. So he continues to judge Israel and do different things, even though he's not a king. So we see, in 1 Samuel 8, we see we want a king to judge us. They set a king over them just to judge us, to rule over them. So those were essentially contemporary judges. We see Samuel judging it around the same time as Saul. But that, later on, we'll get to that when we talk about the reign of Saul. So Eli begins to judge in the time period of Tola and Jair. We see at the time that Eli dies, we see that his two sons, Hophni and Phinehas, Phinehas' wife, goes into labor because she hears about her husband's death, hears about her father-in-law's death, hears about the capture of the ark, and she is stressed and goes into labor and has a child named Ichabod. So that comes, and that becomes important later in 1 Samuel 14, verse 3, where we see the high priest, the line of the high priest. We see Eli, Ahitub, which is another son of Phinehas, and Ahijah. Ahijah was the high priest at the time of Saul. And Phinehas, of course, died. He was not worthy to be a high priest. Alright. And of course, Ichabod wasn't the oldest, so he does not get that honor. Alright. Let me, got a few minutes left. I think I can turn this out. Dan, would you, want me to hand this out, please? This is as we've been talking about, a timeline, or the table of the timeline of the judges. And what I've got is I've got it labeled in one of these columns to be the judge in blue and the oppressor in red. So we see that time frame as well. I have the ages of Othniel, Phinehas, Eli, Samuel, and Samson on here. Again, I'm guessing on some of these, and I hope that's understood. I'm guessing on Othniel and Phinehas. We already talked about them, about when I believe that they were born or when they first appeared in the narrative. Eli, of course, was 98, so we're most sure about his lifespan. Samuel, I have to do some, some work on that, but I hold that Samuel was born around the time of Philistine oppression, or the beginning of Philistine oppression, and so, yes, Art.
You could say approximation.
Sure, that's good. Thank you, Art. So that's where Samuel was born, and his age later on. And then I also have Samson on here because we have an idea of his age. He died likely around 40 years old. Okay. So a few things I do want to point out on here. I think we've already talked about a lot of these things. But a few things I want to point out. At the bottom of the first page, something we haven't discussed yet. There's an interesting situation in Judges chapter 8, where we don't see the recording of this, we don't see this written about, we just see Gideon's outrage over this situation. if I'm wrong in terms of the oppressions and everything, one could read that and think, well, that's where Barak was doing battle, at Mount Tabor. So it's possible that Gideon's brothers were killed during this time right here, when Deborah and Barak had gone up to battle against the Canaanites at Mount Tabor. The problem is they seem to recognize these signs. And if you're in a battle, are you going to be able to recognize everyone that you killed? If you're a big warrior, probably not. And so they were able to recognize them. There were some people like that we killed that were just like you, that looked just like you. And so it's possible that the Midianites had killed Gideon's brothers at some point. In between Elimelech and Naomi leaving for Moab, and a prophet that comes in Judges chapter 6. So I have that particular instance happening right there. So that's one of the interesting things. So I have those in bold. find it. Yes, all right, on page 3. On page 3, I have a certain date. Now remember the Hebrew calendar that we talked about. One of the things that Elkanah and Hannah did, and Peninnah, Elkanah and his family did, was they went down to Shiloh every year for the feast. It doesn't say which feast, but any commentator that I looked at said it was probably the Passover. It's probably the Passover feast that they go down to Shiloh. Now, Elkanah is in Ephraim, stationed in Ephraim, but he is a Levite. So that's where that comes from. You can see his genealogy at the bottom here. From all the way back to Korah of the Sin. Alright? And that's in 1 Chronicles chapter 6. So we see that in 2558, Hannah prays for her son, and that's around the 13th or 14th of Abib. 14th of Abib is when the Passover is supposed to occur. And then she conceives, I'd say around the 25th of Abib, because it says it happened right after they got back home. There's a period of the unleavened bread, where the Feast of Unleavened Bread, why come to Passover, but not say the Feast of Unleavened Bread, that they would have, and then there might have been a period where they were to remain free of women for a little while. So I have around the 25th of Abib for that, and I have Hannah giving birth around the 10th of Shabbat. Now remember, 40 weeks, right, is the gestational period typically that we consider for infants, for babies to be born. And so, of course, that's approximate how many of your mothers actually gave birth on your due date? Very few, I'm sure. So I have about the 10th of Shabbat would have been her due date if the 25th of Abib is her, the time that she had conceived. So I have around that time, that's toward the end of the year, that's the second to the last month of the Jewish calendar. That's around winter time. Alright, so we've got kids coming in. I'd love to continue this. But we will continue this. I will not be here next week, but we'll do this week after next. Alright, continue talking about Elkanah and 1 Samuel and figuring out where these different things occur. Now, the reason why we're talking about this is so that we can have some idea of this timeline. And it's good to know the historical context. I mean, how many people